Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the hottest internet radio show and podcast, The Author's Lab, a place for an eclectic and lively discussion of the dynamic world of writing, publishing, and marketing of the written word. I am the sage and host, Robert Batista. Follow me on Twitter at author R. Batista, and make it a point to follow The Author's Lab on Blog Talk Radio. Today, we are honored to have as our guest the founder of Anger Anonymous, Kenny Crawford. Kenny, welcome to the Author's Lab.
Hey, Robert, how are you doing today?
Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for inviting me on. Yeah.
Kenny, let's start off by you giving the audience and letting us know exactly what Anger Anonymous is.
Well, Anger Anonymous is a fellowship that deals with anger. It has been like the leading force of our unimaginability. Our lives have become like painstaking and unbearable due to anger, leading us to take desperate measures, not thinking before acting. So some of us have become like we're getting in trouble. We have been misunderstood, and anger has been crippling us throughout our journeys in life. So Anger Anonymous is something that I started for the simple fact that people are walking around being dormant. Anger's lying within them. They don't realize the anger. You ask a person if you're angry, they say, no, I'm not angry. But their face expressions and everything shows that they are. So Anger Anonymous started. I started it through the simple fact of I had a best friend and I had got into a fight with. And I went to jail behind it. Almost got 12 years, 85%. And so I was on my knees and I was praying. I said, God, what's wrong with me? Why do I keep acting out like this? And I heard in my spirit, get up and start Anger Anonymous. There's none in the world. And that's how it came about. I started in 2011.
So did you base Anger Anonymous on the 12-step program similar to Alcoholics and Narcotics Anonymous and things like that? Did you base it on those?
I started to kind of like base it on that, but then in my spirit, God said, I only want you to have 6 steps. I don't want you to have 12 steps. I want it to be a 6-step program. And based on going through Alcoholics Anonymous, and I kind of patterned a little bit after that, because I wanted to be in a setting to where people feel more comfortable, like usually in a group setting, but I also do one-on-one counseling. But sitting in a group pattern where when we come to the group, we talk about things that happen to us during the week, and then we talk about a solution to carry out through the next week until we meet again.
So before you started Anger Anonymous, Kenny, what type of person were you?
I was always angry. I was fighting all the time, always into arguments with people and being misunderstood. My perception was totally warped. I was emotionally bankrupt. My misunderstanding, I thought that people were always attacking me, trying to steal my belief systems, trying to take everything away. In conversations, when I would be talking with people, I would hear people, I would be explaining something to people, and then they would say, I don't believe you. And I would think they were telling me that I was lying. So I would become very angry. I was a very angry child. It all started with my father, when my father was fighting my mother. My father's to fight my mother. And I remember that's the first time I really felt anger for a person. And we were having dinner, and my father slapped my mother and told my mother to, my mother was crying, and he told her, be quiet. And she stopped crying and kept serving dinner like as nothing happened. And I looked at him, and with with this rage that came up inside of me that wants to kill him. And I noticed then, but right after that I felt, well, this is a way to control people. Because she stopped crying after he told her to stop crying. So I wanted that same power when it came to people, so I started acting that way. My understanding was warped. I had no control over my anger. I just acted out without even thinking. So I considered myself as a very violent person before this program.
So you realized you wanted to start this program. Did you do any research beforehand, or did you just say, you know, you started it up? Did you do any research into seeing if there was anything like it, or if there was something like this would actually fly? How was your research?
My research, like I said, I was on my knees and I heard God say, get up and start Anger-Namas. There's none in the world. And I trusted that feeling. And when I heard that, I got up off my knees and sat on my bed. And he started to have me write this thing that starts the Anger-Namas out. What we read before, it's a reading that I sent you that we start to read in the beginning of the program. These are words from God. They just came straight out. It just flowed out of my hands. That the pen was just writing them, writing itself. And so I started researching after that to see if there was anything like this, and there was none. And so I started just studying about anger, and I started my experiences of anger. I knew I didn't want to feel the same way anymore. I was tired of feeling the way I felt. It was killing me. And I was losing a lot of friends. I was losing jobs. I was being placed in jail. I was just tired, fighting everybody in every corner. The anger had blocked every part of my life. It blocked everything. Everything I did, it blocked. So that's the research I did. So I started just praying and asking and then writing. And then I started reading about different anger issues and what you know, damage, how anger should damage other people. And I was like, right. And so I started writing my experiences down. That's how. That was my research.
Okay, so did you have to have any advanced schooling, or did you do any advanced schooling in order to get Anger-Namas off the ground?
No. My advanced schooling was my experiences. That's where it came from, the experiences that I had. I was also a case manager before this. I worked at a place called Volunteers of America as a case manager, helping people get into programs and stuff like that. I liked the way that felt to be of service. And I was very good at it, and I still do case management. But the thing is, from the Anger-Namas, I knew from my experience, and I had to find a different way to live. It was killing me. So I started just researching and started just finding out that praying a lot, and things was coming to me like, I always thought people were trying to steal my belief systems, and they weren't. They were just sharing theirs. And once I got a hold of that, people have a right to have their own opinions and share their experiences, I became a little bit more free in my spirit. Because like I said before, when I was explaining to people about my experience, and they would say, I think you're lying. You know, I don't believe that. It sounded like they were saying, I think you're lying. But actually, they were telling me they haven't experienced it like me. So, of course, they couldn't believe it because they haven't experienced it. And so once I realized, right, they're not attacking me personally. What they're doing is sharing their own experiences, and that's the way they've seen it. So I started practicing that. I started realizing that when people talk to me, I would say to myself, it's just their opinion. Even when you're talking to me, I would say it's just their opinion. And I would listen, and my perception changed of what people were trying to do to me. They weren't trying to hurt me. They were trying to share their own experience with me. And so my communication gap opened up better. I learned to communicate more. When I say communicate, I was able to listen to them clearly before forming my own opinion about what I think they're saying. And if I didn't understand what they were saying, I would say to them, I would say, I think I hear you saying this. Because for many years, my father as a child, I was told kids should be seen and not heard. So if I wanted to say something, a lot of times I didn't get an answer. I found it from the streets. Although my father, I'm not taking away from his ability to raise us and take care of us, my mother and father. That was their relationship. I had good parents. Only part of my life that I didn't like was the fighting part. Other parts was good. But the part that damaged me was the fighting part, the anger part that I saw demonstrated to me. I was patterning my parents. And so for many years, my mother was she was a very smooth lady, like she still is, very calm. She took a lot. She had 14 kids. She took a lot. She did a lot for us. But my father, he raised us to be responsible, but at the same time, his anger was out of control. So I took on that nature. I took on his because, like I said, I thought there was a lot of power in it. When the way he told her to stop crying, she stopped. He demonstrated that I could get that done. So many years I was acting like my father until I realized I'm the only person that's carrying this on. And I didn't like it became violent towards me because it started turning against me because I started ending up in jail. I started losing friends. And up until the time I was about to get 12 years at 85%, you know what? I never had no real consequences behind it. So that woke me up because at 12 years at 85% meant that I would have to do 11 years and some days. And I was like, I can't do this. So I started thinking. So I started praying. And I started reading books and different things and said, okay, wait. You know, after I heard God say, get up and start Anger-Nomics, I wanted a change. I needed a different lifestyle. I was uncomfortable in my body, so that's what happened.
Kenny, at what point in your life did you, as you say, discover that anger can be used in a good way? Open the door to freedom for me. Was it sudden epiphany, or did it happen over a period of time?
It happened epiphany. It was like epiphany for me. It happened 2011. I started seeing how when I started not reacting, I stopped reacting. I started responding, and I started allowing people to have their opinions and share with me what they felt. The violence and all the anger, and I stopped having arguments. The arguments and stuff went away because now I was able to communicate. I was able to sit down and have an adult conversation. I had to grow up. I was still acting like a child. For many years, I was acting as that little hurt child at 5 years old. I was acting out the violence that he seen in that night. But as an adult, like in 2011, I had to realize that I'm not a child anymore, so I can't demonstrate the same behaviors that I used as a child as an adult. And so I changed. That's how I changed. And so I realized it could be used in a good way. And it's not the anger that I'm talking about. What happened, anger is an emotion. But it turned into rage. I turned it into rage more than anger. It left anger. When it goes up the scale from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, when it goes from a 6, past a 6, you're in a rage state. Because now I'm starting trying to control you. And that's when I realized I can't control people, places, or things. I can't control nobody and make them do anything. And people have a right to say what they want to say and how they want to say it. They have that right. I'm going to say what I want to say, and I don't want nobody to slap me or put their hands on me because of my opinion. It's just an opinion. So I started doing good because I started helping people. I started realizing that people are not trying to hurt me. They just want what they want. So I realized that when people are acting out, they're hurting. So it brought an empathy towards me for me, a compassion towards other people because of that's what it is. Lately here, though, for the last 2 weeks, what I've been realizing that came in my spirit is that unconditional love. When we look at things in an unconditional love way, every situation, I start to realize that from what I believe in my walk with God and Jesus Christ, this is what I believe. I believe that sin has caused a lot of things in the world. So when anything outside of love is sin. So when people are doing things and it's not in a loving way, it's because the sin has caused them to do that. And so they can't help but do that. So once I started looking at it that way, as unconditional love, I'm telling you, it's a peace of mind that just has been coming over me and my body that I just have compassion for people. I have empathy for them because I know they're hurting.
Well, you speak of hurting, and that's important. Looking at the bigger picture, why do you think people in this country, Kenny, are so angry? How did we get this way?
I believe that, like I said, sin has caused a lot of things in life.
Well, sin, Kenny, that to me is, you know, it's kind of like telling us a certain aspect, like sin. There's so much that sin is. What do you specifically mean by sin? That's causing people to be angry and hurting. What is it about sin?
Anything,
what are you talking about?
Anything that's outside of love. That's what I call sin. Anything outside of unconditional love, real love, is sin. Hatred, bigotry. You have adultery. You have all different things that's considered sin that you will do to harm another person. You see, I believe a lot of stuff in the world is happening because we won't take time out to understand that people just want to be loved and people have their own opinions, and we try to place our opinions on them without understanding that they have a right to think the way they think. But most of all, greed. A lot of things is happening behind greed in this world. And greed is outside of love, because if I want to take from you or hurt you or put you down because the way you believe, then I'm living in a sinful nature. I'm living in a hateful nature. I'm not living in a loving nature. And I believe we were created to be loving beings, not hateful beings. And that's where my hatred was at. I was thinking the same way, dealing with the way society has shown me how, you know, this country was built on wars. This country was built on different things. And we see the massacre shootings today, and then people say, well, why do you think that's happening? Well, this is the way this country was founded. And so once we have to realize that it's not guns that kill people, it's people that kills people. And most of it's behind anger. It's behind people can't understand that you can't control another human being. We can just compromise. We have to make a better way by compromising with each other. Everybody has
speaking
to be able
of,
to benefit. Yeah.
Right. Speaking of guns, with so many shootings lately, such as in Texas, Ohio, and even the streets of Chicago, do you feel many people feel a sense of hopelessness?
Helplessness, you said. I think they feel
hopelessness, without hope.
Some can. I think it's some that do, and there's some that don't. Because if you look, this is nothing new. This is nothing new that's happening. It's just more prevalent because we have the internet. We have more media outlook on things. This has been happening in the 18th century. This has been happening in the 19th century. This is the same thing that's been going on. History is just repeating itself. Like I said, this country was founded that way. We've been teaching each other how to kill and hurt each other from the beginning. You know, if you don't get your way, you go to war for it. That's violence, right?
Yes. How does Anger Anonymous help human beings? How does your organization help human beings? Take us through the process.
I think that the process of it is, this is what my mission is to relieve you from the anger that you feel inside of you, that it can only, if we make a better way through our own personal circles in life, then I think that each circle that we come upon will be able to grasp and build a better way on each other. The process is, what we do is we learn to go within ourselves and understand, first of all, how to forgive ourselves for believing a lie that we had to act out this way and we're following somebody else's beliefs. And after that, the process is learning to become comfortable within your own skin and learning to communicate with others and understanding that no one is trying to hurt you. We hurt ourselves by the way we act out. That's the process. And how this can help humans is that it can relieve you from the rage, the wanting. Anger will always be there because it's an emotion. It's just a natural emotion. Because it can be, anger can motivate you. It can motivate you to become unstagnated. It can also help you to become more mature in your decisions. Because, like, say I gained some pounds and I say, you know what? I'm tomorrow, I swear, I'm going to get up and I'm going to do what I'm going to do. That's good, healthy anger. And so, the anger, so how my organization can help others is the simple fact is to help them to realize that anger is not your enemy. It's the rage part that we have to get a hold of and relieve them and allow them to be able to deal better within their skin and be able to communicate with others as they see fit in their lives.
Kenny, is Anger Anonymous Incorporated? Do you have it as a business? Is it up and running?
I have it. It's not incorporated yet, but what it is, it's on the way of being incorporated. I've been teaching it at a place called Share. I was there for 8 years, but now I'm in school getting some degrees on my associate's degree in human services and alcohol services, and I'm doing that right now. So I take phone calls and talk with people through it, and so that's where I'm at with it right now.
So you,
I'm
going
to also be starting the podcast of it, huh?
Oh, okay, great. That sounds real good. You write in the paper that you sent me that in order to help a person, they must be rigorously honest with themselves. What do you mean by this?
They must be willing to see the exact natures of their own beliefs and take an inventory. When I say that, they have to be rigorous, honest, saying that the anger that they feel, realizing the anger that they feel and how it has damaged them in order to change, and realize that help is available. You don't have to be by yourself. You're not by yourself. You just have to be rigorous, honest, and say, you know, I got a problem with rage. I got a problem with anger. I don't know how to handle it. I act out. I'm losing my friends. I'm losing jobs. I'm going to jail. That's being rigorous, honest, that I need help.
You also say that the only way to deal with anger is to deal with the source of it. Explain that.
The source of my anger was my belief systems. I believe that when you said something to me that I had to pop you in your mouth in order to make you believe that the way I said it. There was no other way. The source of my anger was my beliefs. My beliefs were totally misconstrued. And once I sat down and I started realizing that I don't believe today that I got to hit you because of you have your opinion. No, that was a belief that I saw demonstrated by my caregivers. And so the source of it, the source of it is my caregiver's beliefs or whatever belief. Where did I pick that belief up from? That's the source of it. And now sometimes when I went back and I revisited, I found out that's not my belief. I don't believe that. I don't believe that I got to argue or that I have to. I even stopped using cuss words because I realized that they were a part of the source of my belief. That's when I knew that I was really angry. I don't have to cuss you out to demonstrate that my anger. I don't have to talk loud to you. I can talk to you in a normal voice and say, this is unacceptable. I don't like this. You still know that that demonstrates that I'm unhappy in that situation. I just tell you, I'm unhappy. I don't got to say, no, I don't have to do all of that. No. The source of it is my belief system. What do I truly believe? Do I believe that I got to beat you up, or do I have to cuss you out, or do I got to call you, or do I have to try to intimidate you because you don't want to give in to my command? And then that's what it is.
You know, Kenny, you mentioned something I think is important. A lot of your anger specifically started from your father when you were younger, when you were a child. And
right.
They say that a lot of issues with people happen and can be traced to their childhood. How much of the childhood experience do you think plays in this anger?
I think 90%. I think it's a 90% percentage of it because it is, that's what we learn from. And that's what we, you can learn from your parents, you can learn from TV, you can learn from the ministers of the church, you can learn from your teachers. Children are sponges, and from 0 from 2 to 5, they're learning to be independent and absorb. So we absorb. So when we demonstrate certain things to them, this is what we're demonstrating in how the world is, because they don't understand it. So I think 90% of it plays a big part of our childhood. And most people don't even realize in adulthood that they're still acting out from the way that they were taught as a child. And once they stop and think about it and look back at every situation like I did, I look back at every situation that I've ever been in, and I saw me acting out that day when I told my father, "Ooh, I'm going to get you, I'm going to kill you." I was acting out because I couldn't get my way.
One of your 6 steps says to turn your shortcomings and character defects over to God. Kenny, in what way does spirituality play in your program?
Spirituality plays a big part because once you get your spirit in line, you're able to, I believe, get your behaviors to flow freely. Spirituality is knowing right from wrong. I know that it's wrong to want to hurt you and beat you up. So once I get that into line, I start doing it. It allows me to do the right thing. Spirituality allows me to see the exact natures of my wrong. It's a spirit. Anger and rage and hate is a spirit, I believe, that comes from another place. Love is a spirit that comes from another place. So when we have those spirits warring against each other, that's where the confusion comes. But spirituality plays the part where it helps me to realize that I'm not being attacked. I'm able to love. It gives me a freedom to understand that love is greater than all things. And if I want love for myself, I have to demonstrate it. And if I want to be loved, I have to give it. That's where the spirit part comes in.
So I know that you don't have an incorporation of Anger Anonymous, but you did say that you helped some people over the phone. So what are some of the testimonials on how you've helped people? What is your success record, and what feedback did you receive?
I received a friend of mine who, her name is Catherine Otis, right? She introduced me to a young lady named Diane T. Garden, and I think she was on your program, but
right.
So she was telling me that how she had went to many different, you know, therapists and different people, and when she came to me, immediately she was able to get in touch with her anger, and she's had a freedom that she's never felt before. And you know what's amazing to me, even when she told me that I went back to where even the program, I was doing it for 8 years, that I would write to the courts. The courts recognized my Anger Anonymous. I would write letters to the courts and to the judges, and they would for people, even when they would give them domestic violence programs, they would send them to allow them to come to my class, and it would be 52 weeks, but they were getting off in 26 weeks. Because they were really demonstrating some real stuff. This is a lifelong process. This don't happen overnight. We have to practice these tools that we have, what we do in Anger Anonymous every day for the rest of our life. But it has helped. Several people have gotten out of their commitments with the courts, and they are still doing well. They check back in with me, and I see them. They got better jobs. They have better relationships. But Diane was telling me how the freedom she has in it, and how it's helped her to really, you know, to experience a peace that she has never felt before. The same way that I have in my own life, I'm experiencing a peace. It's such a freedom to not have to want to always fight to be right. It's a freedom in that. And with this Anger Anonymous, I demonstrate that when you are in a conversation, take a deep breath. Listen. Count to 10 if you have to, or walk away if you need to walk away. If you have to walk away, just walk away. And then ask yourself, and always admit to yourself, I'm angry. But then ask yourself, why am I angry? And most of the time I found that I was angry because I couldn't control the other person. And once I got that in my head that I can, a lot of my anger stopped and I allowed people to be there. So that's...
So does Anger Anonymous have a social media presence? Are you on Facebook or Twitter?
I'm on Facebook, and I'm setting up now, like I said, a podcast for Anger Anonymous and a Facebook page for that. Now that I'm getting out there and ready to get back into it, I'm taking it in another direction. I'm also going to do a YouTube podcast where I talk about it every week, and we can check in with each other and follow each other and see how our progress is coming. And, you know, we go through different stages of Anger Anonymous. We'll talk about certain scenarios, and then we'll check back in, just like if you were sitting in a group. And I'm also writing a book about Anger Anonymous. So my friend Catherine Otis is helping me with that. And lovely people. I love her so much. She's a wonderful woman. She's a beautiful, beautiful friend. And I thank God for meeting her and her husband and her son in my life. They're just Samuel and just, you know, really wonderful people that been God sent to me. Even Diane, you know, encouraging me to just continue to do what I need to do in this area with life. And I love it. I love the freedom that you get from it. Once you realize that nobody's attacking your beliefs, you'll start to have a freedom that'll come past you. But using unconditional love as the tool in every situation that you get into, when you start thinking about it as unconditional love, it causes you to be patient. It causes you to have you have compassion, and you'll have empathy. You won't want to judge people. You'll feel... And it's not that you feel sorry for them. You just have empathy. You be in their shoes. You understand where it's at, where they're coming from. Because all you have to do when we're talking to people, all we have to do is listen, and we'll hear the hurt. And if we listen and hear the hurt, then we'll know how to help them. Sometimes you're helping them with just listening without saying anything. That's all. People want to be heard. People want to be loved. And that's what my... whole thing was acting out was I wanted to be heard. I was tired of being shut down, so to say. But nobody has to listen to me if they don't want to. Long as I understand this one thing, like I keep repeating it, but no one's taking away my belief system. I can have a conversation with you, and if I don't like what's being said, I can still take my beliefs and keep going. And you take yours.
So in closing, if people want to get in contact with you, can you give out any websites or other contact info? Do you have any email? Give out any contact information.
They can contact me at KennyCrawford2006@yahoo.com.
This has been the Author's Lab with me, Robert Batista. My mission is to give creative people a platform to show you who they are. One of my short stories, My Baby Has No Name, can be read for free online at spillwords.com. My guest has been Kenny Crawford, founder of Anger Anonymous, now needed more than ever in these troubled times. Thank you so much, Kenny, for being my guest on The Author's Lab.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Kenny. Have a great rest of the day.
You too. God bless you, okay?
Same to you. Bye now.
All right, bye.
This is Robert Batista signing off with this little rhyme. Today is yesterday's tomorrow. Though each one may bring joy or sorrow, God's message is clear to those with sight. Through darkness always comes the light.